Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
It's that time again, everybody. Welcome to episode 111 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com and your go-to thing for everything Pokemon related. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi. Megan Peters, back in business, baby. Welcome back, Megan. We missed you. The audience, the chat, I thought was going to throw a riot when you were not here last week. I mean, you know, Rollin was great, but there were a lot
of me. You know, you just can't replace my charming personality.
They kept saying in the chat, like, why couldn't it have been Jim? Why couldn't it have been Jim?
Wow. Well, I'm back, and I will not leave you again.
You know that voice. That voice, Christian Hoffer, everyone's favorite Pokemon cynic.
You know, be thankful that this is a family-friendly Pokemon podcast, or otherwise I would curse you out.
I mean, look, I'm not wrong. And joining us today, a new voice, was someone we wanted to get on for a while, someone we've tried to get on a few times, but we've never given him enough notice. One of our fine members of the gaming team. We've got Mark here with us as well. Mark, welcome.
It's great to finally be here. I feel bad that it's taken this long.
It's only taken 111 episodes. It's not my fault. I think I'm here every week, guys.
I will say we have traditionally given Mark about 5 minutes notice before. Yeah, like, hey, you want to be on the podcast? And Mark is like, I literally don't have anything set up. And we're like, oh yeah, that's a thing you got to do. So welcome.
I think last week was 2 hours, which was
The new record.
That was the new record. But yeah. I'm here.
That's pretty good.
I'm here.
What I was gonna say was, Mark, why don't you give us a little bit, introduce yourself, and then tell us a little bit about, you know, what Pokemon you like, so we can inevitably, you know, maybe make fun of it, or we won't make fun of it. We respect everyone's Pokemon.
If you say
Geodude,
we'll make fun of you, but
it's Geodude. But my name is Mark Deschamps. I'm with the gaming team, as Jim said. I've been playing Pokemon since Red in 1998. I actually got into Pokemon through the comics, and that got me to try out the Game Boy games, and I was hooked from there. Everybody, I feel like, has their popular, like their real Pokemon. Like no one wants to say Pikachu is their favorite. Like, everybody loves Pikachu, but nobody wants to say that. Like, my real favorites are Charmander and Charizard, but my punk music, like, favorite, like the one that, like, everybody's like, oh, you know, like your clout favorite is Buffalant. Buffalant's like my favorite. Oh.
Which makes sense because you're from Buffalo.
Right, exactly.
So that's like your mascot, basically.
That's our mascot. Yeah.
Home for that Pokemon in Pokemon Go. You're the only one of the four of us who probably has that.
No, I don't have that, which is the funny thing.
I mean, really, Mark, is it that hard to get?
I've never come across one.
Amazing. Chat's already calling you out, asking how is it not Machamp your favorite?
That's actually a really good call. I do like Machamp, but Charizard and Charmander, because that's my first starter. And I mean, I like Charmeleon too, but and just Buffalant. It's the Buffalo boy in me.
I love it. Love it. That is a great, great reason. That's a great option. I think we need more Bouffalant stuff in the world for Mark.
There's no Bouffalant stuff.
Pokemon Snap, you know, they kind of like,
Buffa Renaissance, basically.
Yeah. You know, that was one of the first, you know, Pokemon that you see as soon as you start the game, it's like, look, this is not going to be your normal Pokemon game. Here's Bouffalant.
Like, and they do it too, like they did in the trailer too. So like they had me from like the first like 4 seconds of that trailer.
Yeah, I was playing Pokemon Go this weekend, and I got a lot of Bouffalant showing up. Maybe was it this weekend? Maybe the last couple of days, but I feel like I've seen a few Bouffalant show up, and I was like, "Whoa!"
You haven't, unless you're playing in New York. Were you playing in New York?
No, I definitely saw some.
Then you weren't. Then it was Tauros.
Maybe it was just Tauros.
Tauros is literally everywhere. Because
Bouffalant is literally exclusive to Buffalo, New York, and the surrounding.
No way! I could have sworn I saw it in my. I could have sworn I saw it in my radar.
Are you spoofing, Jim? Or is this you admitting that you're
calling me a liar?
Ooh, the skin.
No. I tried to look into spoofing, and man, that is way too complicated, and me for like to even like want to risk my, you know, very small account.
That was like my favorite thing the first time that you did like Pokemon Go streaming, and like you were like so like heartbroken and disappointed.
I was doing research. I wanted to see what everyone like what other streamers were doing, and I saw like, you know, like there's screens of people with like a joystick on their screen and they're just running around, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? Then when I went to go ask about it, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's a very widely known thing for Pokemon Go players. And I was like, oh wow.
Yeah,
wow.
This is why whenever there's like the Pokemon Go streamer does impossible thing, I'm like, that's because it is impossible. Because
he faked it.
Like, you know, no, like I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you know, sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes. Right,
well, let's talk about some good news. Because Christian opened some Pokemon cards this weekend and got zero birds. So, I think that's only fair.
I mean, I got a lot of great cards. Like, don't get me wrong. I got a Blaziken VMAX. I got,
was it the one that everyone's going after?
No, it was not the expensive one. It was just not a normal secret, Blaziken not the secret VMAX. Rare? I got a Metagross VMAX. I got, like I said, it was a Rainbow Rare. I think a Sandaconda. I got a Full Art Peony. I'm not upset by the, you know, what I ended up getting by any stretch of the imagination. And the most part, the big thing was it was, you know, like my Father's Day activity with my kid. I opened up a full box of Chilling Rain. That's the first time I've actually ever opened up like a full box of Pokemon cards before. That was an experience.
Mm. Yeah, that's fun. Well, so let's talk about the biggest and best cards to get from that set.
One of the big trends that they've been doing in the Pokemon trading card game is they've been releasing more and more like alternate full art cards.
Yeah.
So not only
are art cards.
Yeah. And they, I mean, one, honestly, I think this is kind of like a revelation for the Pokemon trading card game, because these cards look beautiful. And like, you know, you can see like why people want these cards. And so, you know, it's almost all alternate full art cards. And so Blaziken VMAX, the alternate art, Shadow Rider Calyrex, alternate art, Galarian Moltres V alternate art, Galarian Zapdos V alternate art, Zerora alternate art, Shadow Rider Calyrex V alternate art, Ice Rider Calyrex VMAX alternate art. Those are all your big cards there. So basically it's the alternate art cards that are going for money.
The only one of those that I have ever gotten, I think it was from the last set, and I think it was the Urshifu one. Yeah, I got the full art Urshifu VMAX card.
Nice.
Which is a great looking card. Nice.
That's a good card.
Yeah.
That is a plus card.
That's worth some money there, Jim.
Is it really? Yeah. See, I still have it, and I don't even know. I like it.
Give me a second. I'm gonna see if I can like track it down here.
But I will say, like, I love this thing too, right? Like, I actually am a little bummed that you didn't get any of the
the bird ones because the bird cards have great looking cards. Like I think even, like I said, I pulled over the Community Day weekend. I pulled the Zapdos, and that's probably like one of my favorite cards.
Yeah, the alternate art that you pulled, Jim, was it's a $45 card. So, oh, wow. You know, the prices have dropped a little bit on that. Like, you know, from their release. Because
everyone moved on to
Chilling Rain. Yeah.
Yeah. Megan, are you jumping into this one or are you going to sit the Chilling Rain out?
I am probably going to sit this one out. I'm still just keeping an eye out for Eevee. I'm fully prepared for me to just have a lot of issues to get that box. So I'm saving my money. So I can make sure I can afford it. I will say I went for Father's Day. I was able to finally go see like my grandfather up in Kentucky, and he took me to his favorite thrift shop, which is so nerdy. And somebody had like almost a full collection of like the first like Pokemon cards, like the first 150. Yeah, like the full base set. And I was like, oh, they're going to be selling these cards for so much money. Like Charizard was missing, obviously. Someone came in and snagged that. But like they were selling those cards for like $2 each.
Wow. It
was ridiculous. And I was like, this person does not know what they have. so I didn't need any of them because I have most of them as is. But I was like, man. If someone needs those cards, I can tell you a thrift shop if you hit me up on Twitter.
All right, I'm going to do two quick packs really fast. So let's see. From Chilling Rain, Psychic Energy, Thwacky, Fog Crystal, Hatterum, Rockruff, Swirlix. That's a cool Lapras card. I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, the Lapras on this is really nice.
Deerling. Love that Slowpoke. Reverse Holo Blitzel. And just a rare Galarian Sirfetch'd. It's a pretty cool one.
That's a cool one.
Yeah. Right, here we go. Last, not the last one. We'll do some later.
You got anything cool here?
Seabold, Corellia, like looking through the very small hole in my hand. Agatha, Swirlix, Lapras again. Good Lord. Basically, it's the same pack.
It's the same pack.
Yeah, it is almost. Man,
wow.
Coughing. Oh, here we go. Reversal of Volcarona. Ice Rider, Calyrex V card.
Can't complain too much about that.
No.
Man, that's
a great looking card.
I was going to say, that's gorgeous.
All right. Well, all right. There we go. So there's some openings today.
Well, we got our Pokemon card talk out of the way early.
Got our Pokemon card talk out of the way. I think the other thing to mention is, did the Christian, have the Eevee ones gone on presale yet? They are on presale, right? I thought they did.
No, I don't think they have. I mean, they just announced.
I would have them pre-ordered if that was the case. I want it so bad. Anyone who's listening to this podcast in the chat right now, Hoffer, please, the moment those go on pre-order, hit me up.
Just flood Megan's mentions on Twitter with, hey, they're live.
Send a carrier pigeon. I don't care what you have to do. I need them. I need them. It's not that I want them. I need them. So just a heads up.
All right. Well, let's jump to some Pokemon Go news for the day. Pokemon Go announces region exclusive costumed Pikachu.
Yeah, this one's a kind of an interesting story. Like, I don't think like people kind of realize like this is the future of Pokemon Go right here. You know, it's no longer going to be region exclusive Pokemon. I'm sure that they'll region be around. Exclusive
costumed.
Yeah, but region exclusive costumes are the future, man. And they can like do this. You know,
why
like,
do they hate me? They know I loved my costumed Pokemon, and now I have to travel for them.
Yeah, you gotta go to Okinawa. So
it's the worst.
I have to go to Okinawa, I will.
Yeah, I know. When COVID's like, over. Ah, you got me. No, so how this all came up? You know, I think we'll talk about this here in a second. You know, they're bringing back Pokemon Jets, and so as kind of part of this, Pokemon Go announced that hey. We're going to do an Okinawa Pikachu. So fly to Okinawa, get your Okinawa shirt Pikachu and, you know, go nuts. And it's like, oh, and by the way, we're going to be doing this more often, too. And, you know, so far, I don't, no one's really picked it up except for us, I don't think. Like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I think it has, you know, some really big implications for how Pokemon Go operates in the future, to be honest.
Well, I mean, but it's an easy addition, right? Like, it's like the clothing kind of already exists, right, with the cosmetics for your player. And, you know, it doesn't seem like it is hard to add that stuff to an existing Pokemon, just given all the other costume Pokemon that we've seen via the Flower Crown or whatever else. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. I'm going to just get more frustrated by it because I love costume Pokemon and now they're going to be harder for me to get.
No, they won't be harder for you to get. Just, you know, if you're a completionist, and Jim, we know you're not. So no, I don't see it.
I will say, I mean, I've been a big proponent
Danny the Pug in chat. Pokemon Go is for rich people that can travel.
I mean, it always has been.
And yeah, it always has for like in-person festivals and stuff. But I will say this, and I've been a proponent of this on the podcast for a long time. But I mean, if you know about when the Pokemon World Championships were in Nashville, Tennessee, they released a special Pikachu costume, and it was like rhinestone cowboy Pikachu, basically like Dolly Parton stylist dressed up Pikachu. I have always wanted that in Pokemon Go because I have that plush. I have so much rhinestone cowboy Pikachu energy. I want it. I want it on Pokemon Go. I want it. I want it on there. I want it to be like a Tennessee or Nashville region locked thing. I want to have all of the rhinestone cowboy Pikachu, and I want to give it to everyone.
I would love nothing more than state specific Pikachus. Right,
which that would be great.
Right, you just get sweet. You get Pikachu with a guitar for Nashville. You get Pikachu with a mullet for Florida.
Oh God!
It's like a just a. I can't. None of the words that I could use to describe not Florida Pikachu are allowed.
The Pikachu for Idaho, he could just be like eating potatoes or something.
Yeah, see, you get you'll get a
Las Vegas Pikachu. That would be pretty sweet.
Just dressed up as Elvis.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, see how you're getting into it.
You get Empire, oh wow, Calder 27 bulletproof vest for Michigan. Yeesh. But like Statue of Liberty for New York, like Statue of Liberty Pikachu for New York would be adorable. Oh, that'd be
pretty sweet. They have that, you know. You know, like the thing is like, you know, it's not that hard, you know, the Pokemon World Championships, with the exception of the theoretical London Championship eventually, you know, they do these, they release special costumes and Pikachus every year. So a lot of these are already in the books. And quite frankly, the most popular costumed Pikachu that they put out for Pokemon Go are the costumed Pikachu from merchandise. Like, they keep releasing those, and like people are like, where did this Pikachu come from? It's like, from a 2017 merchandise line that was only available in Japan. That's where they got the costume design from. That's why it's not like, you know, some, you know, Pikachu with like a hat.
My favorite one is still Lucha Pikachu that is my favorite Pikachu in a costume. So much. I love him.
And the chat ranking 2700 said Mothman Pikachu for West Virginia. And I have never been so on board with a suggestion in my entire life. Give me Mothman Pikachu. That's everything I ever wanted. That's the cryptid we deserve.
So, you know, funny and kind of random side story about that, you know, like I live in Ohio, and a lot of my childhood was spent in like Southern Ohio in general. And so, you know, the city where the Mothman statue is, you know, it's, you know, well, we visited that city like dozens of times. We've crossed the bridge that replaced the bridge that collapsed, you know, from Mothman prophecies and all that stuff. You know, so it's like it's always weird, like, you know, because it's kind of like a random like local thing, and then now it's like this big deal, and like everyone's like Mothman. It's like, oh yeah, no, that's been a thing that I've always done since I was like a kid. Like, I've seen that statue lots.
But have you seen the Mothman?
No, I have not seen the Mothman.
Well, never mind. I had to ask.
Yeah, we've all seen him here.
It's like,
Hoffer's the only one in this group who hasn't seen the Mothman. So that's the surprise, everyone.
Well, now I'm just trying to think of from others, like other ones that I'd want to see.
Yeah, it's a
I mean, there's the clear easy branded one that since Starbucks and Pokemon Go already have a great relationship, but you just get, you know, Barista Pikachu for Seattle, like that. You know, that's an easy. And look, they can even get paid. Niantic can even get paid for that one. So that would be fun. I would like that very much.
Yeah.
I just wish that
if you know what you want your state's Pikachu or your area's Pikachu to be, let us know, because we need some suggestions to pitch to Niantic, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. With that,
people are asking what Ohio's Pikachu would be. It would obviously be a Pikachu with a football helmet. You know, we're kind of the birthplace of the NFL. And you know, football is like really stupidly in our blood. So we would probably just take that. So, you know, a little bit generic, but you know, that's what it would be. It would be football.
Yeah, that's fair. Christian, you alluded to it a little bit, but Pokemon planes are coming back.
Yes. Soon Pikachu will fly once more from the heavens. they're doing Japan. They're bringing back the Pokemon jets, Pokemon Air Adventures. They're doing Pikachu jets. It's, you know, take a look at this picture if you get a chance. It's something. You know, they're bringing back Pilot Pikachu. I really hope that he kind of understands the whole. You know, it's not, you know, balloons. The jets are complex pieces of equipment. So I really hope he understands.
That's how you know the world is getting back on track.
Nature is
healing because Pikachu is
because Pokemon jets are back. Yep, that's it. They feel comfortable enough to be like, all right, we can get people traveling again.
Yeah,
put Pikachu on the plane.
Now, if I understand this correctly, aren't these planes only flying domestically within Japan? They're not really international. So
initially, I mean, this is how it's always been. It's always just been, right. You know, but the big thing they announced with this is they are country. Working.
Where are you flying to if you are in Japan?
I mean, Jim, like, you know, do you just drive everywhere in the United States? Like, hey, Jim, why don't you go and, you know, like, you live in the same country, you know, country as Los Angeles. Why don't you hop in your car and take a 2-hour trip to get there? Japan's a big country.
I guess I thought Japan was smaller.
Like, you'd have to take like a plane to like Okinawa and stuff. I mean, their train system is so much better. But there's tons of like outlet islands that you have to fly to.
How do people get from one Hawaiian island to the other, Jim? Like, do you think they just, you know, take their submersible cars?
No, they take they take ferries.
No, that's not used. Yeah, and they do that in Japan anyway. But they also do planes.
I know transportation. What is this?
Well, but you know,
right? And I just that's it. See, okay, Danny the Pug said it's got me saved there. That's it. I just assumed that they just used the bullet train for everything.
You absolutely well, like
mostly, yeah, no, they do.
I just figured they just took trains everywhere.
I mean, a lot of them do domestically, but like. They don't go everywhere, especially when you're trying to get to those outlet islands. So
yeah, like you know, that's
okay. Back to the topic at hand. Then anyways, when can we fly on the Pikachu jet?
These empty jet planes that no one uses in Japan. You know,
they're just decoration.
One of the things, though, Megan. While yes, this initially is a domestic flight thing. They are working with other other like aviation companies in other countries, including one in Singapore. So they're going to get Japanese or I don't know Japanese. They're going to have Pikachu jets in Singapore too, and they're announcing they're trying to get more of these. So who knows? Maybe like Spirit Airlines will announce a deal for a Pikachu jet or something like that.
Still wouldn't get me on that airline though.
whenever they do the like special planes thing, right? Like whenever any company does it, it always sounds like it's going to be like this big widespread thing, and then in reality, it's only like four planes, and you know, only four groups get to ride it, and then they basically decommission the plane or repaint it again. I'm like, I never see those planes anywhere. I don't see them at the airports. I don't see them in the air, and I don't get to take them.
When's the last time there's been like something like this in the United States? Like, I can't think of like a.
I feel like Disney's done it a few times.
Okay.
I mean, the last time I can really think of it was when, I mean, they didn't do anything to the outside of the plane, but it's when they did those Mario themed flights for San Diego Comic Con. Oh, and the inside of the plane was all Mario themed, but the outside was regular. Right. So that's like
the same flights that they gave everyone.
Yeah.
Switches.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that's the only thing I could think of. But like the outside of the plane wasn't made to look any different. They just themed the inside. So I don't know. I know Japan and Korea do this kind of, you know, fairly frequently, but at least, you know, when there's not COVID and travel is up to normal standards. U.S., though, it's very different. So I just want to ride on a Pikachu plane. That's about it.
I'll take a Pikachu train because, you know, there's more likely that there might be people.
Yeah, in Japan, I would take
a Pikachu train.
Yeah. They have done Pikachu trains. They've done Demon Slayer trains. They've done so many different anime trains in Japan.
That's why I want to get on
a Demon Slayer train.
Oh, yeah, they did the Mugen train. They did a whole thing in Japan for you to be
on. It's like when they do the trolleys for San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah. So anyways, I would just like to go on one of those modes of transportation at some point. So we'll see if that ever happens.
Well, we are basically 10 minutes past where we needed to put a break in. So now we got to go. We got to pay for the show a little bit. So we will be back in 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Okay. Now, I'm going to change up the rundown a little bit on you, Christian, because I have been waiting to really talk about this and Megan, we've been waiting 2 weeks to talk about this. We saved this so we could talk about it with you because it just didn't feel right to talk about it and not have Megan here.
Thank you.
We got new PokéToons. And GD it, I love them.
It's so good.
Love them. Megan, why don't you give us a rundown on what they were, where they came from, and where people can go see them.
Yes. So I believe it was about 2 weeks ago because it was literally the first week that I had to be out. It was the third PokéToon, which Pokemon has released, which are those kind of like little short animated specials that aren't necessarily congregated into a series like we had with Pokemon Twilight Wings. So this new one, super adorable. It was, again, animated by Studio Colorido, and it was directed by the person, if you are familiar with the anime, Jujutsu Kaisen. It was directed by the person who did the opening theme for that anime, which was very well received this past year. So basically, this new PokéToon is amazing. Please watch it if you haven't. I will say that ad nauseum. But it follows this young girl named Tsubomi, who finally learns that her parents at one point in their lives were Pokemon trainers, and she watches, you know, their video footage of them battling in the past. And after she turns 10 and such, she really wants to go on her own journey, but her parents won't let her. So eventually Tsubomi just decides that she's going to do this on her own. And she starts like doing these awesome, like, training regimens in the middle of the forest, where she meets a little Nidoran and they try to go on their own journey, only to find out that the Nidoran also ran away from home. And then Tsubomi has to deal with her partner's parents, which are, of course, a Nidoking and Nidoqueen, which is terrifying. And ultimately, it kind of ends with them going on their adventure, which, spoiler alert, at the very end of the PokéToon, the battle that Tsubomi has replicates the match that we saw originally in Pokemon Red and Blue, or, you know, Green in Japan, where we see Nidoran and Gengar fight. So,
man, I just hear that.
It's so cool. Yeah, at the end, you hear that. It's such a good episode. It's about, I feel like it's a little over 10 minutes long, I believe. It's been a hot minute since I've watched it. But the animation is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I just want so many of these all the time. But I know that Studio Colorido has been working on this for, you know, quite some time, because they also have a million other projects they're working on in Japan, whether it's commercials and whatnot. So I'm a huge fan of this Poketoon. If you've not seen it, it is just so funny and gorgeous. And it like really kind of captures the heart of parts of like a Pokemon journey you don't think of. Like we see this old aging Charizard that used to battle with Tsubomi's parents, and he just like lays and naps in the grass outside all the time because he's so like over this. And seeing the Nidoqueen and Nidoking, you know, giving Tsubomi permission to like have their child as their partner was like such a cool thing, because it kind of mirrored the conversation that the girl's parents was having about whether or not they could let their own, you know, child go on this adventure as well. Mm-hmm. I thought it really captured that kind of, you know, relational investment, that emotional kind of heart of Pokemon that sometimes you don't immediately notice in the video games. The anime really, really brought that out right now. So I am very pleased with this one. I'm super excited for whatever Poketoon does next. Studio Colorido has been killing it, so I'm very happy with it.
Christian, thoughts? Or Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I'm always a sucker for any time they replicate that opening sequence from Red and Blue. Like that just hits my nostalgia vibes like so hard. Like they did it in the first episode of the anime. They've done it a handful of times since, but every time it gets me. So I love seeing that.
Christian, go ahead and then
I always like, you know, I always like the stories that kind of dig in a little deeper into the relationship between a person and their like first partner Pokemon. You know, the games kind of are just like, here's your choice of, you know, Pokemon, go forth. And you know, we saw that, you know, Ash, you know, the main Pokemon anime kind of blended that a little bit, you know, where it's like, yeah, Ash, you know, chose Pikachu, but that was kind of a relationship that was built up, not immediately. And so, you know, I really liked, one of the things I liked about this was it was kind of like a good reminder for me that, you know, in the Pokemon world, like not everyone gets like the cool starter Pokemon as their partner. Like, you know, the protagonist in this got a Nidoran, a pretty common Pokemon, but you know, she you know, built that bond up. And so, you know, I like the Poketoons in general. Like I wish, like I understand why they don't come out more often, because the, you know, animation takes time. But it's like, man, I really wish this was like a weekly series as opposed to like once every blue moon sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
The whatever, like whether it's a Poketoon or like anything else really that like gets me like air, like has like big parenting vibes or whatever. Those get me every freaking time. And so it's, you know, it's one of those things where, cause you're right. Right. Like that's one of the things that I'd love to see more of is, like, I understand why you need to like starter Pokemon, you know, the way that you need to in the games or whatever. But maybe that's different when Legends comes out.
You still are getting the same three star. You're still game.
Oh, are you?
Pokemon. Yeah. Oh,
never mind.
Yeah.
It's Cyndaquil, Oshawott, and Rowlet.
Well, that's stupid.
can dream one day.
Right. No, exactly. But again, like every single one, like I just remember when we were talking about Twilight Wings, every single one of those episodes just have like that emotional gut punch that, you know, you kind of like you feel it swelling. And then when it just comes and hits, you're just like, oh, God, come on.
Yeah. The pacing, the writing, everything of the Poketoons and these kind of like, you know, the generations and the Twilight Wings, all of those little ones, they, as much as I do love, you know, the mainline Pokemon anime, you know, Pokemon Journeys right now, Sun and Moon before it, the intentional pacing and crafting of the world just feels just so much better, in my opinion, than the mainline series. And they're two different worlds, so it's really comparing apples to oranges, because one, you have a, you know, 10 plus 20 plus year investment in, who knows. But for these little kind of offshoot sides, they really bring, I feel, more of an emotional heart to the video game aspect, since that's what they're most closely related to, which is what I appreciate so much as someone who not only just enjoys the manga and the anime, but also, you know, plays the video games all the time. It really gives that little bit that I'm missing that I love to see in video games so much, as I'm a person who plays games so much for the narrative and the story of it. The anime fills in those gaps that I feel like I'm sometimes missing.
I almost wish we got like spinoff features, right? As opposed to just kind of the mini things, right? Like Twilight Wings was kind of that, right? But it was just broken up over a couple of weeks. But it would be cool to just get like a Pokemon spinoff movie, right? That's not following Ash or Pikachu or whatever. But again, I like that is easier said than done, because Pikachu is and Ash or whatever are the
we got Detective Pikachu. Does that
not that's true. We did get Detective Pikachu. But then we got nothing. I need Detective Pikachu too.
I can't believe it hasn't.
I know. We're still here waiting. I feel like Pokemon's like, oh, we're not in a super big rush because, you know, we're still making money hand over fist.
By the time they make the next one, like Justice Smith is going to have to be a professor.
That's 900% intentional, or they're just going to do an entirely different cast.
It's not even going to feature
the same people anymore. Yeah. They'll revamp it. It might have literally nothing to do with Detective Pikachu or Rhyme City or anything. It might just move somewhere else, which at this point is what I would expect, but I'm a Justin Smith stan, so I want to see him back in everything. So.
Me too.
That's okay. He'll be in the upcoming Dungeons and Dragons movie out in 2023.
Oh man, it's going to be good. He's such a good actor.
Unfortunately, I just, with the Detective Pikachu stuff, you know, I it did fine. Like that's the thing. Like it did perfectly acceptable movie stuff, like, but I think they were really hoping it was going to be a home run, and it was more of like a single or a double, you know, like it didn't lose money. It got okay reviews, not great reviews. I mean, but then it got better reviews than the Sonic movie, and you know, the Sonic movie, you know, was printing money off there. But you know, I think that Legendary was just expecting more out, you know, the Pokemon live action stuff. And so I think they're retooling before they do something else with it.
Well, I wonder if that's going to be an instance where like they'll let the rights lapse on that, and they'll let someone else be able to take a stab at it.
It's weird because
Legendary, you know, feels like, I mean, because they did it with they did it in conjunction with Warner Brothers, right?
Yes.
Feels like that was like the right place for it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know, like, what would a Sony Detective Pikachu movie look like? Not that I think, you know, they'd ever let that happen, but right. Like, but like who else would go and make it? Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe Paramount, right? Like, you know, Sonic worked for him. Maybe they'll get the right creative juices flowing for another Pokemon one.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers extended universe.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could definitely see Legendary somehow keeping it, but just having to completely retool. But I mean, right now Legendary's has so many fingers and so many pies right now when it comes to, you know, anime adaptations, animation coming into the big screen. It's kind of overwhelming when you think about it. So I feel like just retooling it. I still have issues with whether or not Detective Pikachu is the right franchise to go forth with as terms of like an introduction. Yeah. I agree that as a side story, if you go back, listen to our podcast during that time, you will hear my rants. Definitely like that it was a spin-off story that didn't have so much baggage attached to it. Still don't know if it was quite right for the time frame and the current state of the Pokemon fandom.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and again, there's not, you know, we're not re-reviewing Detective Pikachu or whatever, but I mean, more I think one of the biggest criticisms for it is that like there were a lot of Pokemon in it, but it was all window dressing, right? Mm-hmm. Like there weren't like Pokemon doing Pokemon things there that I think people wanted to see more of. And you know, it was cool to be like, oh yeah, there's, you know, Pidgeys flying in the background, but you know, more like one of my kids' favorite scenes in Mewtwo Strikes Back is during the opening song / credits where like all of the different battle stuff is like going on, right? Mm-hmm. Like even something like that, I think would have been cool to see in, you know, realized in the style that they had done there, just to like, even if it was seeing more things like the, you know, the cage fighting, but you know, more like out in the open kind of thing. I don't know. We'll just have to wait. So anyway,
let's move on
to the last topic of the day before we get to the Pokemon fact of the week. Pokemon Unite lives.
It's like, this is literally the entire reason we brought Mark on, you know, a video game expert to talk about this new video game. You know, so it's coming out next month. We got our best look at it. We have a roster with some surprises on it. But, you know, Mark, what did you think about this? I was about to say, we've been kind of like, doing our own thing without laying Mark in Edgewise here. So, Mark, regale us with your video game knowledge.
It's funny because I'm not a League of Legends guy, like, at all whatsoever. But Unite looks good. It's funny. I remember when it got announced, I think it was last summer, you know, they did that special Pokemon Presents for it. And, you know, everybody was livid because they thought we were going to get like the Diamond and Pearl news then. So now that that's kind of out of the way, it seems like people are a little more excited for this. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think it's going to do well. I don't know that it'll do super well here. But with having Tencent behind it, I think it's like the perfect way to get Pokemon more into like the Chinese market, and just worldwide. It would be really interesting to see like how it could do like in a competitive sense. Like it would be weird that we would have like these two Pokemon competitive scenes. Like you have like the RPG competitive scene and then like this, you know, like the Pokemon Unite type thing. Cause that's presumably what they're going to go for. But I like what I've seen of it. I thought they dropped that cinematic trailer and I thought that looked really cool. It's promising. I'm always a little skeptical with spinoffs because spinoffs can be hit and miss with Pokemon games. Like there's some that I adore and there's some that just have never grabbed me. Mystery Dungeon's never done anything for me personally, but I like what I've seen of it so far.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim.
I would say surprisingly, cause I'm not a League of Legends, you know, kind of person. Like I played a little bit of the game that they released for the iPhone, I think like Wild Rift or whatever, the League of Legends game that they played. And I actually enjoyed it more than I thought. I had like almost zero connection to the characters for that game. And so I didn't really care. And then Marvel has something similar as well. There's a Marvel, and I want to pull the name because there's like 40 million Marvel games. And so is it Realm of Champions? No, it's not Realm. Is it? It may be Realm. Yeah, it's Realm. Where that Kabam makes. And it's, you know, it's that MOBA style, you know, game. And like that, I actually really liked way more than I expected. And then like once I started to get the hang of the game mechanics, this is a style of game that outside of the mainline game, I feel fits Pokemon really, really well. Having the champions and they all have their different, you know, ups and downs kind of thing. And you're just kind of going at like it. I'm excited for it. I will probably play it more on a Switch because I think even Calder, I think, mentioned it in the chat. When you play these kinds of games on a phone, the controls can be a little weird.
Yeah.
But that said, like I have a 12 Pro Max, whatever. And so it's a pretty big screen. I love playing games on this thing. And so I may actually just get one of those weird controller peripherals that they make for the phones that kind of have like the controllers wrapped around it, which I know is basically a Switch, but this looks better. I feel it looks better than my Switch. So unless it, you know, the Nintendo Switch Pro rumors are true and this game comes out for that. But I'm excited for this. I think it looks great. It looks like it you know, it may play really smoothly. Like it's got a great cast of like the roster, I think, is really, really well. And I'm excited for it. And like they showed some different skins or whatever that you, or cosmetics for for some of the Pokemon. Yeah. And like I said, look, you put human clothes on a Pokemon, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean the cosmetics are. I mean that's just me. I will spend money on that. And as I'm not a huge League person. I know that on our gaming staff we do have some like heavy League people, and I am not on that level. But you know, I have dabbled with League before, and so this game definitely kind of comes up my alley, especially because you know Pokemon, and I'm all in on that. I think what I'm going to be most interested to see, aside from gameplay and everything, will be the reception and what audience kind of turns towards this game, because if it feels like it's going to appeal to mainly kind of two bases, people who like League and people who like Pokemon. And the people who like League, is this going to be able to distract them from playing their main game? I mean, I can't see anyone leaving League just to play Pokemon Unite, but you know, I could be wrong if this is just kind of like a casual phone game for them. But for Pokemon fans, you know, like, if my fiance or something like played this game, he has no experience with any kind of game like League, that kind of like online multiplayer situation. So he's going to be probably a little bit like thrown off by it. And I don't know if that'll necessarily translate into him wanting to stick with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be curious how this game ultimately finds an audience.
It's a very different style of gameplay than I think a lot of folks.
Yeah. I mean, if you are a diehard Pokemon person, you're used to, you know, the traditional kind of RPGs, even if you're doing like Mystery Dungeon or Puzzle League, you're used to that kind of, you know, that kind of situation, basically. Or if you're a strictly Pokemon mobile player, you know, Pokemon Go or, you know, that the Pokemon Cafe game or anything like that. This is very different. I mean, it is very, very different. And so if you're not necessarily expecting that, that was the one thing I didn't feel like the cinematic trailer stressed enough. Like the cinematic trailer looks amazing. Like, it looks so good. Just watching the cinematic aspect, I was like, yes, let's do it. And that's like the same way a lot of my friends were. And then when they got to like the little itty bitty portion of gameplay that they showed, my friends were like, wait, what is happening? I don't understand. And then it was me trying to have to explain that this is a very different type of game. So I'm hoping that, you know, the diehard Pokemon gaming fans will end up embracing this. I feel like a lot of casual Pokemon fans might be turned off, but I could be wrong. I'm just really excited to see like League players try this game, because it's going to be hilarious watching them. Like, they're so used to having their mains in League, and then it's like, all right, well, do I do Blastoise or do I do, you know, trying to figure that out. I'm excited. It'll be fun to watch on Twitch.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the most common things that I've heard from people is that like people who weren't into League, like I have no attachment to the characters from League, but a lot of people have attachments to these Pokemon. So I think that will get some people to try it that wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to really want to go in and play as Gengar, and Gengar is not, you know, I'm sure we'll just be fine, but not be like my play style of choice. And then I'm going to get real sad, because then I'll have to pick somebody else.
That's okay, John. I just called you by my son's name. So you know, that's I'm done for the day. I was pulling up because there was a tier list that I saw. Gengar. So here's I was looking at the people have been testing this for a while now.
For a while. It's been it's been out in Japan for a while, hasn't it?
No, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Canada, China. Yeah. But Gengar is one of the ones that has been like classified as a hard character to play. So, Jim, knowing your commitment to games, you'll get frustrated doing it on the first time and will never touch the game again. So, probably. But no,
as I said, like I've stuck around with some of the other ones. I just haven't the like I said, the Marvel game doesn't have any real characters that I care about in it, really. So that's what has had me drop that. But there are a number of Pokemon on this roster that I'm excited to try out. Right, like obviously I'm going to try out Pikachu and Charizard, and you know, but and Greninja and Lucario and Machamp and of course Gengar. Right, like. Like there's a lot of really cool ones. Like I'm very curious to see how Eldegoss plays.
I'm going to kill so many people as Cramorant. Like, I'm going to eat them. Like, I better have the option of just, like, you know, like, sneaking up behind them and just swallowing them. And
but then that's spinning what I mean. Them like, out this, someone else. This roster is such a great selection, I feel. Like, the fact that Krustle is in this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. No. I don't know if Krustle is anyone's favorite Pokemon, but he may be now. He may be the secret OP player, character to play in this game.
Yeah, the thing that I'm really curious about, and we'll need to be wrapping this up here soon. The thing that I'm really interested about is how much this gets supported on like competitive play. Yeah. The Pokemon company really lags behind a lot of other video game companies because they don't need to.
I'll remember Pokken because I'm still upset about it.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like the grand prize for winning like a competitive Pokemon video game tournament is like $5,000. And it's like, you know, that's not an insignificant amount of money. But that basically, you know, after you pay for travel expenses, once this goes back to in person, you might come away with a couple grand there. And so I feel like part of the reason why League and Dota and stuff like that and they're popular is because there's a very big and thriving competitive
very big prize pools.
I don't know if it's going to be Tencent that's going to be doing that or, you know, because it's I don't think the Pokemon company is going to be like, you know, like, oh, yeah, there's a $500,000 prize pool. It's like, no, they're going to be like, yeah.
But if they're making money off of, you know, are they? I guess the thing I'm not sure of is like, what are the microtransactions going to look like in this game? Are there going to be like, is that what the cosmetics are? Are those the microtransactions? Yeah. I thought those were unlockables.
So no, everything from what I understand, from what the PR said about it, you will be able to buy everything through like there's like three different types of currencies. Mm-hmm. There's like coins, there's gems, and then there's tickets. And they didn't really say what tickets were used for, but coins, and you can buy anything using coins and gems or with coins, which is what you earn just by playing the game. Gems is how you unlock things quickly. So like, and the thing is you have to unlock everything but like a base roster through coins. So, you know, like, you know, you'll get like four or five Pokemon to start off with. But if you want more, you need, you know, coins. Yeah. So
interesting. Yeah, that'll be something. But I think like let's say like that's if they can make enough money with microtransactions, then maybe that's enough for them to like want to throw some of that into a prize pool for a tournament or whatever and foster that competitive scene. It'll really. I guess we'll see. But anyway, yeah. I'm excited for it. We'll definitely give it a shot. And then let's get to the Pokemon Fact of the Week.
Okay, we got another weird one. It's another weird one. We're talking about Ladybug this week. And Ladybug,
weird about Ladybug? Ladybug is such a precious Pokemon.
It squirts fluid out of its leg joints, Jim. That's what's weird about it.
Oh.
You know? It shoots them out of its knees. Yep.
Like just. Synovial fluid?
The Pokedex talks about multiple times how it secretes fluid from their legs, their leg joints in order to communicate. This seems like a weird and a little bit creepy fact until you realize that's what actual ladybugs do.
Well, right. I think fluid is the word we're getting hung up on because it's...
I mean, it says
like,
fluid.
While it may be accurate, it feels more like... It's like gushing liquid out of its arms where it may just
It might. I mean, you know, let's see what move. Like let's see what moveset is. Hang on. We'll pull up the moveset and find out what it can do.
I'm going to regret this, aren't I?
You 100% are, Jim, but you brought
this. No, not really. Look, it's got a lot of just normal moves. Mach Punch, Silver Wind, Comet Punch, Swift, Tackle.
There we go.
Bug Buzz.
All normal things.
All normal things. Nothing weird or creepy.
Perhaps.
Yep. See, perhaps. Nope. I'm not regretting it one bit.
That's no, that's Psybeam. Like, yeah, it doesn't have any like, you know, gooey goo stuff. which is probably for the best. But yeah, no, it secretes, it secretes fluid from their leg joints. So yeah, so whenever you think about, you know, those six, you know, arms, you know, coming at you with its pathetically weak attacks, you know, just think those things are probably coated with some sort of weird bodily, it's a bodily fluid that gives off odor.
I know, but Lindibus, it's so cute.
And it smells sour when they're angry.
It's
like a ladybug skunk.
Yep.
Yes, yep. That's what it is.
Just a sour smelling bug. Which is what ladybugs actually are. So, you know, it's just a creepy, creepy bug that squirts out.
I just find it interesting that, like, you go from ladybug to Ledian, who Ledian is basically like a mix of a ladybug and a lightning bug.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before they had, like, lightning bugs, Ledian was kind of like this, like, cross thing where it's like, yeah, it shoots out twinkling powder, and it's known as the 5-star Pokemon, even though it has nothing to do with stars. And then, like, the later Pokedex entries even reference it. It's like, yeah, they say that the dots on its back have something to do with stars, but we don't know what it is.
We have no idea what we're talking about. That's terrifying.
Also yeah. Interesting.
I'm okay with it, I guess.
Always thought that Ledian kind of reminded me of, Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
I mean, that is in the comments right now with CG Luigi, whatever that. I'm so sorry if I mispronounced your name. He literally just said Ledian is totally Kamen Rider, and that is the most accurate statement. Absolutely.
Give it a little cape that comes off of one shoulder, and it would totally be, you know, the coolest of that genre. You know, Kamen Rider, such a cool franchise. I wish that had stuck around in the United States as opposed to other inferior franchises.
Unfortunately, Ledian and Ledyba have very underwhelming shiny forms. It goes from red to a orange-ish. So that's all right. Nothing very exciting. Rankin in the chat, are you streaming for GoFest? Yes, I think I will stream for GoFest. Probably for a bit longer. I am now very quickly re-Googling the dates for when GoFest is. The 17th to the 18th. Yeah. Oh, I absolutely will. I have a thing to do at night on the 17th. There is a wrestling event here in town that I'm going to, but I will definitely be.
What event?
Slammiversary. Oh, breaking news.
Breaking news. The next Pokemon Go Community Day was literally announced as we're recording. It's Tepig. So.
Ooh, nice.
That's actually not bad. Not mad about it.
Like so July 3rd, we'll cover that more next week, but you know, it literally just happened. So I need to get off this so I can start writing.
That does it. Sorry. Excuse me as I cough into the microphone. I'm sorry. As that'll do it for us today. As always, we appreciate everyone coming to hang out with us in the chat. So thank you for there's some new chatters in this week. So we love seeing that. I wanted to My Sophie is a new one. Let's see who else we got. We got Dr. Green Thumb, another new one. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. If you want to watch the show live before you get it into your ear holes, you can come on to Twitch, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. across the pond. You can watch us live for all of our crazy Pokemon antics. And sometimes you get super fun things at the beginning or the end of the shows that don't make it to the actual podcast. So definitely come out and do that. If you want to support the show in other ways, obviously leaving a review on iTunes is a big, big thing for us. So if you have not yet, please head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. We'll probably read some as a few more of those start to roll in. I'll probably make that mention at the top of the show next time, because I feel when I do it at the top of the show, more people tend to do it than basically at the end of the show. But you have to stick around to the end of the show, because that's where the Pokemon fact of the week is. That's the draw. Everything else is just the bonus, really. So anyway, that's all that we'll do for us today. A lot of big stuff coming up, so very, very excited. The Pokemon news does not slow down, much to Christian's, you know, dismay at times. Sometimes there's so much. But like I said, we love everyone coming in and hanging out with us. So if you want to talk to us on Twitter, at PokemonPodCB is the Twitter account for that. Otherwise, you can find me at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
You can find me at Seehofer CBus.
You can find me at Mark DeChamp with a C, M-A-R-C-D-A Champ.
Boom. There we go. Well, thanks again, everyone. May the shiny luck be ever in your favor. And we'll catch you next week.